Very much beautifully done, Brother Mike. God bless you. Ruth chapter 2, please. Ruth chapter number 2. I'm enjoying the study through the book of Ruth. I hope you are. We've come to chapter 2. Ruth's our Old Testament book. Our New Testament book is, somebody tell me, Matthew. And our topical series is the Bible Valleys. Very good. Wonderful. God bless you. We've come back to the Old Testament book, the book of Ruth chapter 2. I'm going to get started today, but I probably will not get finished. I know that shocks you, but anyway, this is one of those chapters that's absolutely jam-packed. I'm going to read the first 19 verses. I don't read that much scripture normally when I'm preaching, but I wanted to read this much so you kind of get an overall view of what we're preaching on. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came, gleaning the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. By the way, wouldn't you like for businesses to run like that today? Amen. Can you imagine the boss coming in saying, the Lord bless you all today? And all the workers saying, the Lord be with you too, sir. God bless you. That's missing, no doubt about that. Then said Boaz, verse 5, unto his servants that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? The servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. Go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? When thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find grace, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto me, unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up, went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. I'm telling you, that blessed my heart just reading that, honestly. Boaz is a picture of our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse number 19. It's my title, my topic, my theme, and my text. When Naomi said, whose field did you glean in? Here it is. She said, the man's name is Boaz. The man's name is Boaz. I'm going to begin this message. I will not get through it. I highly doubt it. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us this morning. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us from your word. Thy will be done among us, I pray. Forgive my sin. Help me to be clean. Give us strength, Lord, to be all that you'd have us to be this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we come to this chapter, let us remember what has just taken place. I've already preached on it. You can go back and get it if you'd like to go get it. Tragedy has struck three ladies in the land of Moab. Their husbands have all died in that land. Orpah, we saw last week, retreated back to the world after the death of her husband, while Naomi and Ruth head back to Bethlehem, the land of God's blessing. Now, when they get there, they are noticed by the city, and Naomi calls herself Mara, which means bitter. However, Ruth is there with her after making her commitment to turn from her family and her idols to the true and living God. See, Ruth was a Moabite, a stranger at this time in Bethlehem. So she comes to Naomi and asks her to let her go and glean ears of corn in the field of him who she would find grace in his eyes. Ruth was a stranger, she was poor, and she was a widow. Now consider these verses with that being said. Leviticus 23:22, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger, for I am the Lord your God." Deuteronomy 24:19, "When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. Now, here in these verses, elsewhere in the Old Testament, we see, now folks, listen, Ruth, who is a widow, she is childless, and she is a member of a cursed race. She's a stranger, if you will. She is going out to find favor and food in the field of someone she does not know. Now get this, God has commanded for these folks to be taken care of with these gleanings and these sheaves that were forgotten in the field. The only thing Ruth knows is that she and Naomi needed to be cared for. And she is complete, now get this folks, this is so important here. This is all introduction. She is completely dependent here upon somebody else who will give her grace at this time. She had already determined to follow the Lord. She was not going to turn back. She did not spend her time moping in all of her troubles. She refused to sit at home. She wanted to go out in humility and search for a field to find satisfaction in. She was simply doing what she could. That day Ruth went out, and when she came back home, we see she brought back home an ephah of barley that she had beaten out. And this has been said to amount to around a bushel, and for two ladies like her and Naomi, it would have provided for about 5 days for them. When Naomi saw what she had gleaned, she asked Ruth where she had gleaned. In other words, Naomi said, go ahead and try to find somebody to find grace. I'm talking about in their sight. No doubt, there's no telling what Naomi's thinking. She may come home empty. But the next thing she knows, Ruth comes home and she has enough for 5 days. And she's done all that in one day. And Naomi says, who is it? Whose field did you go into? What's his name? Who is it that showed you favor? And she said, I'll tell you what his name is. The man's name is Boaz. Now I want to take this thought, the man's name is Boaz. This man is mentioned for the first time in chapter 2, verse number 1, where the word of God says that he was of the family of Elimelech. Now all of this is building throughout this book. May I say the best is yet to come here. And I'm telling you that it's all building here. God has everything in order here. He's of the family of Elimelech, and he was therefore a kinsman. He was also, the Bible said, a mighty man of wealth. What a blessed thought that Naomi had a kinsman who was rich. He's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that as we come in this book, as we'll come in this book, that we also have a kinsman, and he owns everything that you see. He is rich. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills under it. And I'm telling you that the man's name in this chapter is Boaz. And as we think of Boaz, I want you to think of the Lord Jesus Christ, because just like he is the kinsman redeemer, I'm talking about the kinsman redeemer in this book, the Lord Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer in our own life. This man named Boaz had a field.
And this field was enough to meet Ruth's need. He was a kinsman who was capable of redeeming Naomi's property. This is the field that the Word of God says her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. In the world's eyes, it may have just seemed like a coincidence, but we know that the Lord God of heaven is at work behind the scenes. The Lord led Ruth to the field of Boaz. She had made a commitment to follow the Lord. She had come to trust under His wings in verse number 12. By the way, that's a beautiful word right there. I'm talking about that phrase, under His wings. It carries the idea of a hen sheltering her baby chicks. It also carries the idea of the wings of the cherubim in the Holy of Holies. In other words, Ruth has found her place in the holy place. She's a child of the King, and the Lord is tenderly leading her in the way she should go. Boaz field was proven. Boaz field was productive. Boaz field was promising. And the Lord tells right here, led Ruth to this field, and she comes home with plenty, and she comes home with leftovers. And I want to focus our attention on Ruth's statement. The man's name is Boaz. And as we look at these things, again, let us remember that Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ today. There's four things I see about this man named Boaz, and four things he did with Ruth. And these same four things, if you are saved, is what he's doing with you today. Number one, the man's name is Boaz, first of all, who saw Ruth. Who saw Ruth. We see this in verse 5, 10, and 19. Look at it. Then said Boaz unto his servants that were set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Now, in my study it came out, there was one commentator who said he believes that this was love at first sight. In other words, when he looked up and saw her, he's like, who is that right there? You know, kind of like what I did with my wife. Bless her heart, she's probably watching live. Her and Jalen are under the weather today. If you're watching, I love you, sweetheart, no doubt about it. Amen. We see here that when Ruth came into Boaz's field, he had been there, listen, he had not been there at this time. However, we see he comes from Bethlehem and said unto his reapers, the Lord be with you. The reapers respond, the Lord bless thee. And I'm saying to you that not long after Boaz arrives, he sees Ruth gleaning in his field. And he said, whose damsel is this? And when he saw her, he must have liked what he saw because of how he responds later on. In verse number 10, we see Ruth saying how he took knowledge of her. Then Naomi said the same thing concerning him in verse number 19, where she said, who is it that took knowledge of you? You know what those words take knowledge means? Listen to this. It means to look intently at. It means to acknowledge. It means to be acquainted with. It means to care for and to notice. The point I'm trying to say is even though Ruth did not know Boaz at this time, she had not seen Boaz at this time. He had already seen her. He had his eye on her. This is blessing my heart. He looked intently at her, and he noticed her, and he cared for her, and he acknowledged her, and he was acquainted with her. She didn't know him, but he knew her, and he had his eye on her. Now, folks, listen to me. She may have thought that no one would notice her. After all, the Jews did not deal with the Moabites. She was an outcast. Racial barriers were in her life at this time. However, the most acceptable bachelor in all the land, who was a relative and was rich, was taking notice of her. Boaz saw her. And in this we see he initiated the whole process with Ruth. He's focused his attention on that Moabite lady that's gleaning in his field. May I say something to you? In the same way. Now, anytime I say in the same way, I'm applying it to our life. In the same way we are. Now, listen to me. Ruth was attractive, but we are not. We're not adoring or beautiful to God. We are all born in sin, and we are born an outcast. We're not worthy in ourselves. However, the lovely Lord Jesus, the creator of the universe, the one who owns it all, has taken notice of us. He saw us. He's noticed us. He cares for us. He acknowledges us. He's looking intently at us. He acknowledges us in our condition. Folks, He sees us dead in our sin in Ephesians 2:5. He sees us without strength in Romans 5:6. He sees us as sinners in Romans 5:8, but He also sees what He can make out of us, you see. Just like Boaz knew that his field had enough for Ruth. And yes, he saw that she was a Moabite, but she caught his attention. Aren't you glad that you caught the eye of the Savior? There's a Bible example of what I'm trying to say to you. You don't need to turn to it, but over in the book of Luke, chapter number 19, I'm sure some of you probably think this is my life story, the story of Zacchaeus. Yes. Good. Sure. I really love you all. You know that, don't you? I lie a lot, but I do love you all. Appreciate you. The story of Zacchaeus, you know the story. This man is a tax collector. And he's so short he has to climb up into a tree to see Jesus. He knows Jesus is coming to, and he wants to see the Lord. But the Bible tells us in the book of Luke chapter 19 and verse number 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. May I say something to you, folks? We do not initiate salvation. The Lord did. And what I'm saying to you, Ruth was not looking at Boaz. Boaz was looking at Ruth. And I'm telling you this, that the man's name is Boaz who saw her. And the man's name is Jesus, who's still looking around the world today, and he cares for people, and he acknowledges people, and he knows that in his field that he owns is what people are really needing. Aren't you glad God looked at you someday? If you're saved today, let me tell you why. Because the man's name is Jesus who saw you. That's why. The man's name is Boaz, number one, who saw Ruth. Number two, the man's name is Boaz, who spoke to Ruth. We see this in verses 8 and 9, 11 through 12, 14 and 21. After Boaz saw Ruth, the Bible says, look at verse number 8. The Bible says in verse number 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Look at verse number 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it has been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art coming unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Bible says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Notice verse number 14. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, eat of the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. She sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left. Look at verse 21. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me, also thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. You know, it's a beautiful thought here that Boaz saw Ruth, and when he saw her, he took interest in her. He cared for her. He was acquainted with her. He wanted what was best for her. So when he saw her and took notice of her, the second thing he did was he spoke to her. Anybody know where I'm going with this? He spoke to her. I'm telling you that This is the man who owns the field. This is the man who owns the field that she's gathering from. This is the man who's over it all. I mean, he has servants in that field. He has reapers in that field. He has gleaners in that field. He's the owner of it. He owns everything. He's rich. And he comes into that field and he sees her. And he says, who is this damsel? And they tell him, and then all of a sudden he turns his attention to her and he begins to speak to her. Now there's four things about his speaking I want you to see. These four things, I may only get started with them. Number one, we see in his speaking, first of all, his invitation to her. Notice in verses 8 and 21, I'm not going to read it again, but we see in verse number 8 how Boaz invited Ruth to stay in his field and not go to another. This is confirmed again with Ruth's own words in verse number 21, where she basically said, "He told me don't leave my field, stay right here." Now get this, folks. Boaz knew that he had everything she needed. He knew that in his field, he could provide what her heart was searching for, and that she would not need to look anywhere else. He's calling out to her and saying, here's the first thing. I'm inviting you to my field. I want you to come to my field. I want you to stay here. I recognize that you're searching for food. You're searching for satisfaction. You have a need in your life. And I'm telling you, you don't need to look anywhere but in my field. My field has what you need. And I'm inviting you, don't look elsewhere. Stay with me. Glean in my field. And you will soon learn that what your heart needs, I can provide. What an invitation this is. In the same way, the Lord knows that who He is the one who can provide everything that the human heart is searching for. People are searching for peace and satisfaction and salvation and forgiveness and redemption, and it's all found in the field of our heavenly Boaz, whose name is Jesus Christ. Let us hear the invitation of the Lord. God calls out in Matthew 11, 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." John 7, 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and let him drink." I'm telling you, aren't you glad that Boaz not only saw her, he began to speak to her. And when he spoke to her, he invited her to come and stay in his field because he knew that what he had was sufficient for her. Then second thing about his speaking, not only his invitation to her, but we see his insurance for her. You say, what's that mean? Look at verse number 8 and 9. He said right here, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." Now notice his insurance in verse number 9. "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap and go there after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Here's what I'm saying. As Boaz speaks to Ruth, we see he connects promises to his word. Do you see the beautiful picture of this? He speaks to her and he says, if you do this, I'm going to give you some insurance. I'm going to give you some promises. Now listen to this. He's giving her insurance that if she would stay and glean in his field, that she would find what she needed. And he insured her that he had charged the young men not to touch her. He proceeds to tell her in verse number 9 that she can drink of the water that the young men have drawn. In this we see that if she would glean in his field, she would always have her thirst quenched. If she stayed there, he's saying, you'll never go thirsty in my field. Amen, folks. I'm telling you. He's saying, you'll never go thirsty here. There's plenty of water in my field. Then he goes on to say, I've commanded the young men to keep their hands off you. By the way, the Bible tells us in the book of John, chapter number 4 and verse number 14. Don't turn to it for time's sake. What did Jesus say? He said right here to the woman at the well, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The Bible says in John chapter 7 and verse number 37, here's what it says. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, same verse, Jesus stood and cried saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I'm telling you that he's giving her some insurance here. In his speaking, he's saying, if you stay, I'm inviting you to stay, and if you choose to stay, you'll never go thirsty and you'll never be harmed. He's telling her, I'm going to protect you and I'm going to provide for you. if you will stay in my field. Now, folks, listen to me, please. In the same way, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ has spoken to us and given us His promise that those who are found in His field will be provided for by Him and also protected by Him. You get out of the Lord's field. Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. That's something completely different. I'm talking about if you search for your satisfaction anywhere outside of the heavenly Boaz field, you don't have His promise of protection. You don't have His promise of provision. But if you will accept His invitation to come unto me, then you will see that what you are searching for is found in His field. And He will protect you and He will provide for you. You ever heard this verse, Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory in Christ, by Christ Jesus. There's an illustration that I found, and it's called God's standard is not out of, but according to. Notice that verse says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to, not out of His riches, but according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let me explain. There's a tremendous difference between these two, out of and according to. Suppose you had, suppose that you need $10,000. So you go to a multimillionaire, and he responds to you by handing you a $100 bill. Are you with me? He has given to you out of his riches. Out of. However, if you go to this multimillionaire, And you present your need, and he gives you a check, signs his name, and he hands it to you blank. Now he's given to you according to his riches. Do you see the difference? In other words, if he just gives you part of what he owns, it's out of it. But if he gives you liberty to draw as much as you need because he's got enough to cover it, then that's according to. And the Bible says, but my God shall supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That means he has given you a blank check. It means whatever you need, he's given you his riches, and his riches are enough and more to cover it. This is what he's talking about. And this is what Boaz is saying. Boaz is giving her insurance. And he's saying, listen, I see you. I've recognized you. I've seen you. I'm taking knowledge of you. I'm acquainted. I care about you. And I'm telling you, Ruth, stay with me. Come to my field. I'm inviting you to stay here. And if you stay here, I'm insuring you something. I'm giving you my insurance, my promise that you will be protected. And I'm promising you that you will find the water that you need to quench your thirst. You will find the food that you need to satisfy you, and I'll send you home with leftovers. This is Boaz. The Bible says in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Bible says in Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. 2 Peter 1:3 and 4, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There was a lady who made this statement, and I quote, you will never need more than he can supply, and what he supplies will always be enough. You will never need more than he can supply, and what he supplies will always be enough. We're noticing his speaking. Number one, he saw her. Number two, the man's name is Boaz, who spoke to her. And in his speaking to her, we've noticed his invitation to her. We've noticed his insurance for her. And I'm going to show you one more thing today, this morning. Number three, we see his intelligence of her. In verses 11 and 12, notice it. After she fell on her face in verse number 10 and bowed herself to the ground, and she said, "Why have I found grace in your eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?" In verse number 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." You know what I saw when I was studying that? Here's a thought that came to my mind. How much did Ruth know about Boaz? Not much, if anything. As a matter of fact, we see Naomi had to tell her later in this chapter, he's a kinsman. She doesn't know Ruth. Ruth doesn't know Boaz. But Boaz knew a lot about her. Are you listening? God knows all about you. Jesus Christ knows about you. We see his intelligence of Ruth here. We see here in these verses that he knew different things about her. Even though she didn't know him, he knew about her. He knew how she'd been kind to her mother-in-law. He knew her husband had died. He knew that she had left her parents and her land. He knew that she didn't know his people. He knew that she had come to trust on the wings of the Lord God of Israel. Boaz knew a whole lot about Ruth. You know, folks, in the same way, the Lord Jesus knows all about us too. Even when someone does not know him, he still knows all about them. My friend, you may feel like nobody knows. You may feel like nobody understands. You may feel like, I'm talking about Ruth. Now, put yourself in her shoes. She's from Moab. She's not from Bethlehem. Everything she's experiencing is new. This lady and her husband comes to the land of Moab. She marries one of their sons. He dies. She says, "I'm going with you," her mother-in-law. And she goes home to Bethlehem. Her husband has died in Moab. She has turned her back on her family. She's turned her back on her country. She's going to people she doesn't know. And in her heart, she has come to trust under the shadows of God, God's precious wings. She goes to Naomi and says, "Let me go out and glean today. I'm just searching for somebody that'll show me grace. We need food. We've got a need. I can't sit around. Surely somebody's out there who can provide for us. Somebody's out there who can protect us. Somebody's out there who's got what we need. And I realize they don't have to, but he's going to have to show me grace. Naomi, let me go." Can't you just see her walking down? She's all alone. Maybe she's thinking, about the passing of her husband. I don't know what she's thinking. She's all alone just trying to find a field to get some food from. And it just so happened that she walked in the Boaz field. Boaz wasn't there, came and saw her and said, "Good night, who's that girl right there?" He sees her. He begins to speak to her. And he says, "I'll tell you something. I know something about my field that maybe you don't. I've got what you're looking for here, Ruth. Don't go anywhere else. I can satisfy you here. I'm inviting you to stay in my field." And he said, "If you stay, I'm going to give you some insurance. I'm protecting you. I've already told him if they touch you, it's over. And I promise you, your thirst will always be quenched if you stay here, and I've got enough food and to spare." And then all of a sudden, she bows on her face. She has found the one who's shown her favor. And she tenderly, graciously, before him on her face says, "Why have you shown favor to me, a stranger?" Oh. And he speaks and he says, "I know all about you, girl. I know I know about your husband who died. I know that you turned your back on your family. I know you turned your back on your country. I know these people that you're with, you don't know them. And I know you've come to trust under the shadow of God. You know what Boaz shared with her? He said, I know you don't know me, but I know all about you, sweetheart. And I'm going to tell you something, that's Jesus, folks. That's Jesus Christ. You come to him, you bow and find grace in his sight. It's not because you know all about him, but he knows all about you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your life is. And he knows when you turn your back on the world and you're coming to trust in him, and he has the field that will provide your every need. Who is this man? I'm just halfway through, not even quite halfway through. Who is this man, Naomi said? Who is it that showed you favor? Who is it that opened his field? Who is it that gave you all this? And Ruth stepped back and said, I'll tell you, the man's name is Boaz. And Boaz is a picture of our Lord and Savior. He saw her, so has Jesus seen you today. He spoke to her. Is the Lord speaking to you? Is he inviting you to come to him? Is he sharing with you that, hey, if you come, you'll find what you're searching for, and I'll protect you all the way through? And maybe he's sharing with you, hey, maybe they don't know. Maybe your pastor doesn't know. Maybe that family member doesn't know. But I know all about you, and I want to provide for you. Can you see where we're going in this chapter? The man's name is Boaz, who saw her and who's in the process of speaking to her right now. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us, Lord God, to trust you. Help us to see the great typology in this book. We know from a study of the Word of God that Boaz is a spiritual type of our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that if somebody's here today who needs to come to the fields of Boaz, help them to come today. Guide me, Lord, as I guide this invitation. Speak to hearts. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Obviously, the first way that we apply this is to salvation. Boaz is a type of the kinsman redeemer. Later in the book, he'll redeem Ruth. He'll redeem the field and all these other kind of things, the possessions. But maybe God's calling out to you this morning. Maybe you've come into this church service and in your heart you do not know Jesus as your Savior. May I say this to you? He's got his eye on you. The Lord is watching you. He sees you. And he takes his word and he tenderly speaks to you. And he's inviting you to come to him. Because see, if we don't know, he still knows that what we're searching for, he can provide. He provides salvation. He provides peace. He provides satisfaction. That all comes from the Lord, and he invites the world to come to him. Maybe you need to accept that invitation and come and be saved. Or maybe today God is speaking to you in this area. He not only speaks to give insurance and to share an invitation, but he speaks and reveals that he knows all about us. Maybe you've come into this auditorium tonight, this morning. Maybe you're saved. I hope you are. If you're not, accept the invitation of the heavenly Boaz and come and accept him as your Savior. Or maybe you're here today and you're going through something. Maybe you've turned your back on things. Maybe you've had a death, whether it's a physical one or some kind of a different situation. Maybe there's things going on in your life and you feel that nobody understands. Maybe you feel that nobody knows. Folks, please understand the truth. And even though Ruth did not know much about Boaz, Boaz knew a whole lot about her. And Jesus Christ knows all about you.
maybe you need to come and say, God, thank you for knowing all about me. Help me to trust you. Help me to trust you. And then I say this thought. Maybe God's speaking to you that you're saved. You already have the heavenly Boaz in your life. But you know, Christians are tempted to go outside of his field. Now, once you're in his family, praise God, you can never get out. Can I get an amen right there? Thank God you can never lose your salvation. But you can try to get out of his field and go to another field called the world because you think the world has what his field does not have. Can I say something to you? Stay in Boaz's field. Boaz has enough and more to care for you. If you go outside it, you don't have his protection, you don't have his provision. But if you stay in his field, he'll protect you, he'll provide for you, you'll be just fine. Maybe God's dealing with you in that way, I don't know. Maybe God's dealing with somebody saying, you know, this is the church where God has for us. If God is dealing with you about coming and joining ranks with us, you come. However the Lord's dealing with you, let's do business with the Lord. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take the thought, use it in a great way. Thank you that you are our heavenly Boaz. Help people to respond, those who need to be saved and accept the invitation to come and find their needs met. Help them to come. Help them to be saved. Those who need to come and say, God, I'm in your family. Help me stay in your field and not try to go somewhere else. Somebody may need to come and say, God, I'm going through this, but thank you that you know all about it. Help me trust you. Help people to respond, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing, if God is dealing with you, You come on. As he sings, come on. If you need to be saved, come.
Have thine own way,
if you need to join the church,
Lord,
come on. If you're going through a trouble or a trial or a tribulation, come on.
Potter,
thank God that he knows all about it.
Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Go ahead and sing another, Brother Gary, please.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
They're playing through something right now. I'd like to ask this question. Have you all know somebody who's outside of Boaz's field? They're searching everywhere, going into different fields and all these other kind of things. And you say, Jody, I know somebody who can find what they're searching for in the field of Boaz. Have you know somebody like that? Would you raise your hand? You know somebody like that? Yes. You know the Lord wants you to invite them. He wants you to invite them to come and find what you have found. And it could be that there's somebody here today that doesn't know the Lord as your Savior. Oh, I trust that before you put your head on your pillow tonight, if God gives you that much time, that you will accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's amazing as we're dealing with this precious family that's come to join our church. But if you're still standing, you can look this way. I know you can't see me yet, but you're getting ready to. That's better, isn't it? As we're getting this family's information, it's amazing how many people think that what they're really searching for is outside of Boaz Field. Isn't it amazing? It's all over the place. Ah, that field. I tell you what, I'm going to try all the, and then if I don't find it there, then right before I go home, maybe I can get into that field, right? I mean, just by the skin of my teeth. All I'm telling you is this. I'm in that field. I'm in Boaz's field. And I'm having the time of my life. That parched corn's there. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Water's there. Your needs are met in that field. But you got to hear his voice and obey. And when you do, he'll keep his word. Aren't you glad he keeps his word? Amen. This is what we're looking at. The man's name is Boaz. Amen.
We're excited about that. No doubt about it. Thank you. This is Bobby and Sonia Pollard and Kara. If y'all wouldn't mind just to stand there just a moment. Miss Charlotte can stand with you. All of you have been saved, correct? And all of you have been immersed. Wonderful. And they are wanting to join our church by letter. And we're so excited that you're here. I told them we've not voted anybody out, but it could happen today. I'm just kidding with them. I'm just playing with them. They're wanting to join our church by letter. What's the pleasure of the church in this? Could I have a motion that we receive them? Brother Trent, Brother Martin, all in favor say aye and raise your hand aye. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. There we go. Don't you love it how I give time for that? So carry. Welcome to our church, the Lord's church. And I'll tell you, as you've probably already heard me say, when you join this church, you're joining an army. We don't want you to come and sit. We want you to come and sit and serve and help us try to get the gospel out. Amen. We're happy you're here. Are you happy they're here? Say a big amen. Hope many of you will come by. What a precious family. If you'll just kind of stay right there, many of our folks want to come by. If you're a first-time guest today, I remind you to drop your card off at the Welcome Center. Be much in prayer for the John Sevier Chapel service today at 4:30, and then tonight's service at 6:30. We'll continue with this, God willing. And thank you for being here. Amen. What a wonderful crowd. God bless you. Let's bow our heads, and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, okay? I'm going to ask Brother Gallion, sir, if you wouldn't mind to pray for us today, please.